Chapter 8. The Will of Tzeentch. A cackling demon ripped the head from the retributor at Vandas's side. His body vanished into a blaze of light that reached for the churning clouds, only to veer sideways and be dragged into the fabric of the Eldritch Fortress. Vandas shouted out his anger, smashing the pink demon down with his warhammer. It burst, and from the gory remains climbed two smaller blue demons. Where the first had laughed and howled, these scowled and grumbled as they fought. Vandas slew these two also, and spurred Kallanax onward. Faustus fought nearby, an unstoppable tornado of hammer and sword. They were through the breach, into the first courtyard. Many ways led off the ward, leading into a labyrinth of passages and walls, but ahead the route was clear. The walls were riven by magic and war, and the tower's base was visible to him through a further gap. Vandas pushed his way on. The stormcasts were dwindling in number, but remained in good order. With liberators in solid lines, judicators behind, retributors and decimators working in small groups to bring down the worst of the demons and the greatest champions. There was a screech like that of tortured metal. The shard gate pulsed ever quicker. The ground shook, and the top of the tower fell down. Incredibly, the moon was reversing its course.
"We do not have much time," shouted Vandas. "Onwards, before they steal the hammer from us!"
With a ringing of trumpets, the stormcast pushed forward to the gap in the next wall. They poured through, routing the few warriors of chaos that dared stand before them. Vandas felt a surge of relief as they crossed the second courtyard. But then the walls rippled and became convoluted, trapping 20 of his men within. The courtyard became smaller, then opened up at one end. A fresh foe waited behind. A huge warlord with a skull for a helm and a demonic hound beside him. He bore a demon weapon, a two-headed brass-bound axe the size of a mortal man. A band of massively muscled warriors attended him, eyes bereft of reason, teeth stained brown with the blood of the innocents. They stood tensely, a rigidity coming off them as a wall of iron-tinged heat.
"Cool," said Vandas. "I have come for you, Blackfist. You are the last of your tribe. You think yourself my equal, raised up by your puny god."
Kul swept his axe around to point at Vandas. It trailed streamers of unlight. The fabric of reality tore upon its edge. The air shed droplets of blood and screamed.
"You are nothing, craven. Fleeing into the arms of Sigmar when I prove stronger. I will destroy you and offer up your skull to Khorne, as I gave the skulls of your wife and children to him."
Vandas was nearly overcome by the urge to rush at Kul. Hatred boiled in every part of his being. The ghost of the man he had been demanded vengeance. Kallanax felt his wrath and stamped and snorted. Perhaps Vendel Blackfist would have broken from his men, his anger overcoming reason and sense. But Vandas was Vendel no longer. He fought down his fury and shouted out an order to his few remaining warriors.
"Defensive square!"
he bellowed. Horns rang, and his men ran quickly into a formation opposing the mob of Kul's warriors. Kul laughed hollowly, a madman's humor, sick and shot with blood greed.
"Coward. Very well. Hide behind your golden weaklings. No matter how much magic Sigmar has imbued you with, it will not help you."
The tribesmen around Kul gripped their weapons and growled, barely holding their anger in check.
"Blood for the blood god! Skulls for the skull throne!"
shouted Kul, his words so thick and crazed they were barely discernible. A raw cry of unfettered rage. With an animal shout, the warriors of Khorgos Kul surged forwards. The bloodbound crashed into the shield wall of the liberators with shocking force, only to be thrown back. A bloody toll was levied by the judicators behind the liberators, the last prosecutors picking off Kul's elite deep within their own ranks, while prosecutors plugged gaps in the line. Again the bloodbound charged, and again. Vandas and Thostos fought side by side, slaughtering the followers of Khorne by the dozen wherever they went. Soon enough, Vandas realized that no man of Kul's dared raise a blade against him, and he used this reticence to his advantage. But Vandas's stormcasts were fatigued and diminished in number, and the bloodbound of Kul fresh and numerous. One by one the protectors were slain, and the prosecutors dragged from the air. Before long, the ranks of the stormcasts were in tatters, and the battle had descended into a swirling maelstrom of individual melees. At this moment, Korgos Kul chose to strike. He burst through his own men, his great axe parting their souls from their bodies in his eagerness to bring down his enemy. The demonic hound at his side leapt at Thostos. The strange magic infusing the Lord Celestant saved his flesh from the creature's teeth, but he was knocked sprawling and clanged off the cobbles of the courtyard. Vandas and Kallinax faced Kul alone.
"Now you will join Khorne, Blakefist, as his skull to be ground beneath his feet," snarled the Chaos Lord.
Vandas and Kallinax were forced back by Kul's ferocious assault. Their weapons banged and flared from one another as each lord strove to bring the other low. Through Vandas's concentration on the fight came the realization that he and Thostos were alone, beset on all sides by the Kul's bloodbound. No weapon could harm Thostos, and the followers of Kul drew back from the duel between Vandas and the Cornate Lord. Still, Vandas was being forced backwards. A clatter of wheels came from behind. From the corner of his eye, Vandas saw Thostos leap and heard a bestial cry as something died. Then Kul barged Vandas aside, knocking him sprawling from Kallinax. The Chaos Lord's axe slammed into the blade of another, staying it from slaying Vandas.
"I said the hammer hand was mine, Thrond," roared Kul. "My kingdom? Who are you to demand the head of our foe?"
Thrond asked.
"Wizard's puppet. You dare defy me. I shall add your head to the tally."
Kul's fury broke like a dam, and he slammed into Thrond, knocking him from the back of his chariot. The two Chaos Lords wrestled upon the blood-slick cobbles. Thrond's warriors let out a cry and turned upon the bloodbound. The far side of the square erupted into fresh and furious battle. Vandas stood, Heldensen at the ready. The bloodbound parted before him, teeth bared. Their muscles stood out from their necks and their eyes glared. They strained like dogs on a leash, but they would not defy their master. They would not attack him. He was Kul's alone to slay. Thostos came to his side.
"We must kill him," said Thostos.
The desire for revenge burned coldly in his baleful eyes.
"Do you not think I wish to slay him?"
asked Vandas. "Our duty lies elsewhere."
"Where is your desire for wrath and ruin?"
Thostos's voice reverberated strangely behind his war mask.
"There is a time for vengeance. This is not it. One petty revenge can upset the chance for 10,000 greater victories. Come."
Reluctantly, Thostos backed away from the horde.
"This way,"
said Vandas, and pointed to a gateway barred by a portcullis. Kallinax rejoined them, forcing his way through the melee. The bloodbound of Kul would not fight him either.
"Strange luck," Thostos said as Vandas remounted.
"Well, let us pray it holds," said Vandas.
Most of the warriors had backed away, going to join the fight with Thrond's knights. A few remained, unsure. Vandas held his hammer in a guard, ready for them, but still they did not attack. More and more of them were glancing over their shoulders to the duel between Thrond and Kul. Thostos broke the portcullis into pieces with one swing of his hammer and rushed through. Vandas came behind him on Kallinax. No warrior of Khorne dared follow him.
"The hammer is close," Vandas shouted.
Before them was the Tower of Efrix, its side rent apart. Light blazed through cracks. A deafening shout made him turn. Riding upon the platform of another chariot came a warrior Vandas recognized, Kul's lieutenant, the bearer of the icon that had summoned the realm of chaos into Akshi. The Bloodsecrator carried his icon with him, blood boiling from Khorne's rune in a crimson fog.
"We sell our lives dearly, then,"
said Vandas. Thostos snarled. From the other side of this courtyard, demons came capering. The two Lord Celestants were surrounded anew.
"I will slay you.
I will cut your head free. I will spit on your corpse and dedicate your skull to Khorne,"
shouted the Bloodsecrator. Spittle flew from lips bitten raw.
"Kul has claimed my head,"
said Vandas. Do you dare his wrath?
Cool is weak. Sigma is weak. Blood for the blood god. The Lord of Skulls cares not from whence the blood flows.
The Bloodsecrator grins savagely, exposing black teeth filed to points.
Do you hear that, feeble one? Your power is nothing compared to mine.
He slammed his weapon against his heavily muscled, scarred chest and raised his icon to the clouds, boiling impotently in the sky.
Do you hear? You are weak, Sigma, weak.
In reply, a mighty thunder boomed. The sky split with a bolt of blue as wide as a tower. It struck the wall, then again, opening up a fresh breach. The metal of the wall exploded. The breaches revealed the sea and the broadness of the crucible. Clouds raced around its rim, and light played there, bright and godly. More lightning bolts slammed into the earth. The Bloodsecrator and his tribesmen recoiled. From out of the light stepped a figure bearing an icon of his own, topped also with the emblems of death.
It is you who are weak, to fearfully sell yourself to the murder god, said Ionis Cryptborn.
A bolt of pure magic shot from his hammer and blasted the chariot. The metal of it withered, the draft beasts were slain, and the Bloodsecrator was cast from it and lofted through the wall, where he fell flailing into the silver sea far below. Light faded. All around Ionis stood a host of Stormcast Eternals.
Ionis, you are returned, said Vandas. How did you manage it so quickly?
I told you, my friend. Death has little hold on me, said Ionis.
Singing their praises to Sigma, the storm host charged. The renewed crusade fought on, smashing demon and mortal alike, until Vandas and Thostos forced their way through the fracture in Efrix's ruined tower and into the space it contained. A bizarre machine sat there, creaking and pinking as it cooled. There was the hidden keep, light burning from its riven walls.
Galmaras, said Vandas breathlessly.
The sorcerer!
Efrix,
said Thostos. The heat of emotion entered his voice, his deadened soul awakened by hatred. The sorcerer had become ancient, bent with age. He hobbled as quickly as he was able from the machine towards the iron doors of the inner keep. As he passed within, a wall of fire leapt up, encircling the keep. The sorcerer's bodyguard moved to interpose themselves between the gates and the vengeful storm hosts. In the sky, the shard gate was sinking, the infernal energies spilling from it, now caressing the tower's stump.
We are running out of time, said Vandas.
But Thostos had already rushed ahead, a group of returned celestial vindicators at his heels, and was slaughtering his way through Efrix's bodyguard. Vandas went after, Kallanax bowling over four of the hulking warriors.
Retributors to the gates, ordered Vandas.
Kallanax forced his way through the bodyguard, Vandas smashing them to the ground with Heldensen. In short order, there were no more Chaos slaves to slay. Protectors held the breach into the tower, preventing others from assailing the lords. Outside, bolts of celestial energy rained down.
Hurry,
urged Vandas. The retributors banged rhythmically on the gates with their lightning hammers. The flames crackled, the warp light racing over the vile carvings that covered their surfaces. The fires went out, and the warriors attacked. The gates shook with each impact, but did not shift. The shard gate continued its descent. There came a louder bang, and the gate shuddered differently, shifting on its mountings. A wide crack sprang across it. Blue light shone out, and the retributors called out joyously. They struck harder, until another crack, then another, crazed the surface of the door. Together with the light came the sound of chanting. Words so evil they crashed around his skull. Vandas fought against the pain, though blood ran from his ears. With one last impact, the doors burst inward in a storm of iron shards. Vandas and Thostos ran in, drawing sustenance from the holy light that bathed the chamber. The whole of the inner keep was one large domed chamber, with but two apertures. The gate and a slit window glazed with amethyst in the eastern wall. A rubble of lead bricks was scattered across the ground. Above it, chained by blood iron and bonds of pure magic, floated Galmaraz, Sigmar's own hammer and relic of the world that was. A coven of 9 demons sought to take it for their master, and it was from them that the chanting came. They turned one by one to glare at the Stormcast Eternals, wizened faces full of hatred and amusement, knowing faces that carelessly harbored the wisdom of ages. There were 8 of lesser order, great in their own right, but not so powerful as the 9th, a 2-headed horror, taller than the rest and shrouded in dark majesty.
You cannot stop what has become. The end is in sight. Come in, come in. All are welcome in the crystal labyrinth of my master,
called the 2-headed greater demon. The eldritch fortress lurched, sending the Stormcast Eternals staggering. Slowly, it began to rise towards the shard gate.
Get the hammer,
yelled Vandas.
Bring them down.
The Stormcast charged. The greater demons came down to do battle, and all the while, Kairos laughed. Vandas hurled himself at a Lord of Change. To his left, 5 of his warriors were cut down by a bolt of dark fire. Others exploded, disappeared, or were transformed. The air wavered, and the scene changed. Vandas staggered, finding himself in a quiet forest. He spun about, looking for his foe. A sudden coldness gripped his legs, but when he looked, he could see nothing amiss.
Do not trust your senses, he said to himself. They cannot help you. Trust Sigma.
He shut his eyes, letting the vision fugue come down on him. In his mind's eye, the interior of the chamber overlaid itself upon the forest. The room was ablaze with magic. Some of his warriors staggered about, as lost as he. Only the Celestial Vindicators seemed unaffected, and in his state of alter perception, Vandas could see how the fury in them burned hot enough to sear away the magic set against them. A bird-headed demon shrieked as enchanted blades cut into it and laid it low. His own opponent stared at him with dead eyes, its hand waving up and down slowly. Cruel humour was writ upon its features. It does not know I can see it, thought Vandas. With a great effort of will, he called upon his distant body to obey him. With a mighty heave, he swung Heldensen. His limbs felt feeble, as if they moved underwater. Heldensen sped true, smashing the demon in the face. Its head snapped back, and with a blast of warp light, it fell dead upon the floor. The glamour was lifted by the demon's expulsion, and Kallanax pressed forward towards the hammer. The shard gate was forcing its way through the domed ceiling, still descending as the fortress rose up. Chunks of masonry fell down, and the whole keep rumbled.
Thustus, the hammer! Called Vandas.
Kallanax pushed onwards, fighting through a swarm of leaping demons that twisted into being from jets of fire projected by a Lord of Change.
The chains!
Shouted Thustus back. Vandas nodded in acknowledgement. He stood up in Kallanax's saddle, swinging his hammer at the first of Galmaraz's restraints. Several links burst. Fizzling magic, they fell away. Thustus cleaved through 1, then 2 with his rune blade. Vandas rode swiftly to the next, then the next.
You cannot triumph. This hammer belongs to Tzeentch,
crowed Kairos. The greater demon stalked across the floor and leveled his staff at Thustus. From the top of the rod spouted a gout of magical fire. When it touched the Celestial Vindicator, his magic aura seemed to transmute his flesh into pure Sigmarite. But the fire burned hotter and hotter, and Thustus's body began to run. With heroic effort, Thustus cut through another chain, one of pure light, that vanished as Thustus's sword passed through it. Stormcasts ran to Thustus's aid, but Kairos sent them sprawling with a thought, and the Lord Celestant remained trapped in the searing fire. Vandas rode to the next chain and shattered it. The noise attracted the attention of Kairos's left head.
Ah, I think not, said the Lord of Change. He thinks he can outthink me, said the other head. Kairos, Fate Weaver, said the first head.
He advanced on Vandas. The fire winked out, and Thustus fell to the side.
The great oracle, to whom no secret of past, said the first head. Or future, said the other. Is any kind of secret at all,
they said together. The end of his staff glowed with awful light.
Now,
said the heads together,
let us change you into something fitting.
A bolt of light streaked from the side of the room, catching the Lord of Change on the arm. Kairos's heads snapped round. An Ionis Cryptborn sent another blast at the demon. In the corner of the room, Efrix blinked. The green light went from his eyes as Kairos's control of Efrix was shattered, his master embroiled in a magical duel with the skull-faced warrior.
Kairos, he said.
His aged voice was a dry whisper. The sorcerer bent painfully to the floor and took up a fallen staff of change. Its violent energies coursed through him, warping his flesh and soul, but he hobbled forward toward his treacherous master. The shard gate, the hammer, the invasion, all had become of no consequence. He was consumed by his hatred of Kairos. Raising the staff in palsied hands, Efrix swung at Kairos's back. The head of the staff barely scratched the demon's skin, but it was enough. Kairos flung back his head and screeched from both mouths. Rippling energy engulfed him. His physical form sped through a dozen transmutations. A tusked sky ray, a moon-faced puppet jerking in multicolored flame, a pink-skinned lesser demon, a statue of coal, and a churring songbird. Efrix sank to his knees, all his strength gone.
You didn't see that coming, did you? You preening peacock.
Vandalus! The hammer! Said Thostos, his voice a gurgle.
Vandas stood upon Kalanax's back and launched himself at Gal Maraz. He flew through the air, hand outstretched. A lord of change reached out for him, only to be blasted back by a bolt of lightning from Kalanax. A second fell to a magical attack from Ionis. Time slowed to a crawl. A thousand futures depended on this moment. Vandas's fingers closed upon the gleaming haft of the hammer. The last chain fell away, and it came free. His mind flooded with memories that were not his own, images from times and places far away and a world long gone. Then he was falling and rolling. He came up easily, and he held the power of a god in one hand. Kairos Fateweaver leaned over him, the last effects of his transformations flickering over his faces as he regained control of his form. The demon lifted a hand, and a glow of power formed around it.
Do not think that is yours, he said.
Nor is it yours, said Vandas.
Before he had even formed the intent to move, Gal Maraz streaked forward with the power of a comet. Vandas was only the means to the end. The weapon used him to exert its will. Gal Maraz smashed into Kairos's shoulder, sending the arm spinning free in a spray of mashed flesh and demonic ichor. Kairos shrieked, twin screams from both mouths. The hammer arced round, dragging Vandas's hand with it. It powered into Kairos's left head, caving in his skull and sending it crashing into the right. Kairos toppled forward, cawing in pain. Vandas stepped back, and the hammer swung up and down, crushing one head into a bloody paste upon the floor, then the second. Kairos's body convulsed, making a scream like a whistle. He juddered, vibrating so quickly his outline was a blur. He convulsed, inwards, outwards, then, with a sorry pop, he transformed into a smoky crystal. Vandas brought his boot heel down hard on the gem, crushing it to glittering powder. The shard gate was now only feet above Vandas's head. He held Gal Maraz up in defiance.
See this, Great Changer? This is Gal Maraz, Sigmar's weapon of old. It is in my hand, and shall soon be in the hand of the God King. Fear it, for as it slew your servant, so one day shall it slay you.
Lightning burst from the hammer. Wherever it landed, it struck down a servant of chaos. The roof of the keep was flying apart, the tower coming to pieces around it. The fabric of the Eldritch Fortress was rooted in the power of the hammer, and now that Gal Maraz was free, it disintegrated, the pieces flying upwards into the Shardgate, where they exploded into showers of silver sparks. The skulls around the walls burst. A furious howl raged from the Shardgate, sending the incarnate stormcasts reeling. It went on and on, then changed pitch, becoming wild laughter. The Shardgate winked out. An echo of the laughter remained, and for a moment the bare floor of the keep hung in the air over the site of the Eldritch Fortress. Ionis, Thostus, and 24 more storm hosts stood upon a mosaic that depicted Sigmar in his glory, the last remnant of Elixir's great monument. The sorcerer Efrix lay dead upon the God King's face. Then the floor tilted and dropped towards the naked summit of the island, coming apart as it fell. Upon the bare stone, its fragments shattered, scattering the storm hosts all about into the ranks of their brethren. Of their foes there was no sign. All were gone, taken up by the Shardgate. Vandas lay sprawled upon his back, looking upwards. The alchemist's moon had resumed its true course, and as it passed overhead, a new light was revealed. A brilliant, pure radiance that banished every scrap of shadow from the island. A twin-tailed comet burned across the heavens. Vandas held aloft the Godhammer, saluting the arrival of the Sigmarabulus. A great peal of thunder split the sky. The storm hosts fell to their knees and were surrounded by a blaze of light. Gal-Maraz was reunited with its master, and the war began in earnest.